Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We're going to get ready to start this morning. Hey, it's so good to see you guys in the house of the Lord today. And I just want to, first of all, for a lot of you guys, you know that I keep in touch with you guys all throughout the week normally. If I was to ask you guys to raise your hand, you guys know I'm getting a hold of you, seeing how you're doing, checking in on you, praying over you guys. And I kind of dropped the ball this week. And I just want to tell you guys, I'm sorry about that. There's really no excuse except for just being crazy, bonkers, busy on a whole nother level. You guys know after the accident, there's just been a ton of different changes going on. But I want you guys to know I love you so much. And I'm praying over you guys every day. Even if you don't get that text or, hey, how you doing? Know that I'm praying over you guys. And I love you. And I'm just glad to see you guys here this morning. And we're going to get in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's start out with some announcements really quick. September 6th, mark it on your calendar. We're going to be at South Beach Church on September 6th. I believe it's at 6 o'clock. And we have been doing churches for CASA. But now we're going to be doing a different organization. So the church that hosts it, we decided would be the church that picks it. Does that make sense? So if it's an organization, if it's a charity that the church knows that is involved with the person, has some history there, and they say, hey, you know, I was thinking we could use this funding or we would like to partner with you, then get with me or Pastor Luke or Pastor Andy of the Newport NAS. Next year, I believe Pastor Andy's going to host it for us at the Newport NAS. Get with him and tell him what's going on, and maybe we could help get together the community, the church, the body of believers get together for a cause for whatever charity that may be. So that's going to be September 6th. Also, how many of you guys like the steak and study on Monday? Man, was that good? So Daniel Fusco, Kelly got baptized by Daniel Fusco, and it was an amazing time, and it was just so powerful. And the next time it happens, I want to get, we need to go up there. They're going to have some women's group conferences up at Calvary Chapel Corvallis, and it's an amazing time of power. It was just so cool for men. It was just men's only, ladies, on this one. But that's okay. Trust me, you want your man to go so he can come back better than he left. Amen? And so we were sitting there on our face, repenting, asking God to forgive us and to fill us and to change us and to help us be the men and the dads and the husbands that we need to be. And it was amazing. And I want to encourage you guys, next time, if you didn't make it, we're gonna have to take you up. It's gonna be awesome. Daniel Fusco, he's the guy that does our 2-minute messages with the dreadlocks. And I told him that last time I saw him, I told my wife that I had hugged him. And I said, man, I told Vicky that I hugged you. And she says, what was it like? And I told Daniel, I said, it was like pulling a big fat pillow out of a dryer. And he was like, really? I'm like, man, you were so sorry. But now he's cutting. He's getting in shape and he looks good. So it's kind of like hugging a 2x4. He needs to add some more weight so he can feel good again. All right. Hey, so that's our announcements. Bible study on hold for the summer. And let's open up in prayer. And then we're going to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we're continuing our series, I Got Issues. So Father, we come to you today and I just pray that you open up my mouth. Give me words to speak, Lord. Teach us, lead us, guide us, change us into your image and for your glory, God. For our good too. And for your glory most of all. We're praying that you're glorified in this message. Open our eyes to see, God. Your word is alive, it's living, and it's got something to say to us. And I pray that if there's hard hearts in here today, that you do a work on them right now. Soften them up, Jesus. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, last week he was talking about getting disqualified, DQ'd. And as a pastor, it kind of struck me, it really hit home because he says, after I preach to others, I need to discipline myself, lest after preaching to all you guys, I get disqualified. Isn't that crazy that Paul would say that? He knew himself so well that he knew that he could drop the ball, he could sin at any moment, he could lose his testimony, he could lose his witness, just like that. You know, people look at Paul and they think, man, you got it going on. But if you were to ask him, he'd say, hey, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to keep it together. How many of you guys need Jesus? You know, it looks like you might have it going on. You look good on Sunday anyway. But inside, you know you need Jesus. And so he was preaching about that because Paul knew Paul better than anybody knew Paul. And he was on guard against the things around him. Not only that, but he was on guard against his own self. You know, it doesn't do any good for you guys to be on guard watching all the sin and the temptation and the stuff around you if you're not on guard for the stuff that's going on inside of you. Amen? Proverbs says, guard your heart above all else, for out of it flows the issues of life. And so you can go ahead and be on guard all you want on the things around you. Paul says, you know what you guys need to do? You better start getting on guard on the things on the inside of you. And so he says, I discipline myself. Do you guys know there's nothing wrong with discipline? It's not a word we like to use, but there's nothing wrong with spiritual discipline. Reading, praying, serving, giving. So now Paul starts off in chapter 10, verse 1, and he's talking to the Corinthians about the examples of the Old Testament believers. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Paul wants to remind them that as long as they were led by God, things were going good. He said they were all under the cloud. Do you remember that? They were all under the cloud. If the cloud picked up and went, they picked up and went. If the cloud stayed, you remember when God led them out of Egypt? You guys are kinda. One of the biggest stories in the Bible. God leads them out of Egypt. And it says that when they were under the cloud and they were led by the Lord, everything was going good. And that's a reminder, if you want it made in the shade, if you want things to go good, you need to be led by the Lord, amen? And so when the cloud, he says that they all passed, that they were all under the cloud. And so he says also too, check this out, that they all passed through the sea. I really like that. So they were led by the Lord. How many of you guys know you need to be led by the Lord? Have you ever led your own self? And it ended up getting you in a place you didn't want to be, a big old fat dead end. Man, God wants to guide us and he wants to lead us to life. And so Paul said they followed the cloud, but then he says, check this out. He says, and they all passed through the sea. Now some of you, now you know there's people who try to explain that away, right? Did you know that? Like, how did they get through the Red Sea? They try to explain away the unexplainable. But the reality of it is that God did it, and we don't know exactly how he did it, but he got them through it. And I want to tell you guys something so cool about this morning. God will get you through some things that you just can't explain, and at the end of the day, you're going to look back and say, I don't know but God, amen? There's just some things that God, we try to explain away the unexplainable, but at the end of the day, God will get you through things. He'll do stuff in your life in such a way, and you'll want to make sense of it. But sometimes you can't, and all you can do is say, but God, that's how I got through. And so he says that they were led by the cloud, they were led through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses. He's using typology, he's pointing pictures to Christ. And so check out verse 3, he says, and all ate the same spiritual food. So these are pictures of Christ. The sea is a picture of baptism. The cloud's a picture of the Holy Spirit leading us. And then they all ate the spiritual food. Say spiritual. Notice Paul keeps saying spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. It's all spiritual. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. How many of you guys love hot bread? Fresh out the oven, butter. Katrina brings me hot bread and it's free. And there's nothing like hot bread and hot bread when it's free. Amen? It's so good. And Jesus said, he told the Jews, he says, I'm the bread of life. And it's a picture of Jesus. You remember when Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, don't work for food that goes bad, but endures for eternal life. And the Jews were like, tell us the work that we need to do to get that. And Jesus said, this is the work that you do to get that eternal life that satisfies, that nothing else can replace. Believe. In other words, you can't work yourself into eternal life, but you can believe yourself there. In Jesus Christ and his finished work. Thank God we don't have to work to get it, because you know what? Some of us just can't work good enough. So Jesus says he's the bread of life.
Paul's making these pictures, and he says, verse 4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the people cried out for water. This is another reference. And to Jesus when they were being led through the wilderness. And it says, all were led out, and there was a rock that followed them. Now, how many of you guys read that and just got a kind of a problem with that? Is that weird? Could you imagine that? Like, you're walking like 1 mile, and then you look and you're like, that's weird. I just saw that rock. And then you walk 2 miles and you're like, man, that's that same rock again. I know that's that rock. This is crazy. And you keep walking again. There's that rock over and over again, following them, this rock. Now, I don't know if it was a rock that actually followed them, but the picture of it was a rock that fed them water and gave them refreshment from thirst. It was Jesus Christ. And what would happen, God had told Moses, you remember the story, strike the rock and the water will flow. And I thought, man, that is so weird. You know, we read the Bible so fast, but isn't that odd? I mean, if you're going to get water and you're God, why don't you have them dig a well? Right? Tell them, dig a well, Jesus. They can dig a well. But instead, he tells Moses, strike the rock and water's going to come out. And they all got their thirst quenched. And their prayer was answered. And you know what? I thought about this. I was thinking about why God did it this way. Sometimes God will answer your prayers in a way. He does it not to just give you what you want, but that you'll give him glory. I'll say it for those people, because you guys didn't hear that. That was good. Sometimes, check this out, God answers prayers in such an unusual way, not to just give you an answer, but that you would give him glory. That you would be like, oh my God, I cannot believe you did it like that, because if it was up to me, Jesus, I wouldn't have done it like that. Has God ever moved in your life in such a way where he answered prayers in your life, and you were like, I wouldn't have done it that way, but you did it, God, and I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to tell you, when they struck that rock, it was an answer to prayer when that water came out. And it wasn't just to answer their prayer and to give them an answer, but that they would give him glory because of it. And I've been seeing that more and more these last couple of weeks. So has my wife. I can tell you right now, God doesn't answer things the way that you want them to be answered all the time. But the reason why he doesn't just give you an answer is because he wants you just to give him the glory. And sometimes it's got to be crazy. Do you hear me? I'm talking God doing some stuff in your life that you never thought would have been possible a year ago. Sometimes it takes a while for that to happen too. How many of you guys feel like you're in the wilderness right now? Going around, same old thing, going around. You know what? But I want to tell you something. God is amazing. And when he answers prayers, he does it in a way that he gets the glory. He says, I will not share my glory with another. And so they strike the rock. Paul says in verse 10, verse 4, that Jesus is the rock. And notice he says that the rock followed him. The cloud led him, and the rock followed him. What's the connection? God went before him. God went behind him. Check this out. He's not only got your future, he's got your back. That's what that means. You read this stuff, you just go over. Yeah, there's a rock there behind him. Yeah, there's a cloud in front of him. Check this out. God's got your future. He's got protection for your back. He's everything that we need when we need it, when we got to have it. And so Paul's painting this picture for the church in Corinth, and he's showing them some things about God. He says in verse 5, but even after all this stuff, how good God was to them, you know what? They still turned from God. They backslid. Now, I know none of you have never done that. But these guys did it. And Paul's going to start warning them and us about how easy it is, man, to follow God in one season and then in the next you're following yourself. You're going after your own thing. You're going after your own way. I get it. I know what it's like. I know how easy it is to happen. Creeps up, boom. And so he says in verse 5, but most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now I'm going to tell you guys something. Two things you don't want to hear in the Bible is God was not well pleased and bodies scattered in the wilderness. Amen? Those aren't two good things. Those aren't things you want to hear. So what happened? He's making a reference to when they were going into the getting ready to go into the promised land. And all these people were waiting to get into what God had for them. God had promised them this land, and they get up to the border, they're ready to go in. They go send 12 spies out, and only two came back with a good report, and everybody else was complaining, griping, and crying about the giants that they saw. And what happened was, is God said, okay, fine. You guys are scared, you don't want to believe what I got for you, then you're not going to come into it, and you're not going to see it. And what happened is, 23,000 of them died. Paul says 23,000. Moses says 24,000 because Moses is talking about the whole plague. Paul's talking about what happened in one day. God promised them the land, but seeing the giants killed their faith to fight. And I want to tell you in Jesus' name, nothing's going to kill the promises God has for you in your life quicker than letting what you see get in the way of what God has to give. This is the number one thing that kills our destiny and promises that God has for us to come in is when we allow what we see to kill what we have. He had it. They had it. God said, it's yours. Go on, take it. Be strong. Be faithful. Take the land. There was two people, Caleb and Joshua, and they're like, we can do this. Let's step out. So when it comes to fighting giants, we got to make steps of faith when we fight and keep stepping. I don't know what it is with you. But God wants me to tell you this. You need to take steps with faith and fight. Steps with faith and fight. Not just the faith. And it's not just the fight. But it's all of it working together. You got to take steps. God's telling you to keep stepping. It may look like a roadblock. It may look like hopelessness. It may look like discouragement. I'm telling you, church, I get it. I understand it. And sometimes it doesn't get resolved overnight. And that's the time when the most you need to keep stepping in faith when you fight, but keep fighting. Because nothing's going to kill those things that God has given you faster than the things that you see. So he tells them, he says, listen, 23,000 of these guys saw the giants in the land and it freaked them out and it killed their hope. How many of you guys know hope is dope, amen? We need it. I was thinking about doing some shirts that said that, Ark Bible Church, hope is dope. So anybody online, if you see that, you heard it here first. We got some hope in Jesus and it's dope. Unless you allow what you see kill what you have. You got to keep stepping and fighting, Paul says in verse 6. Now these things became our example. Say our. I wanted you to say that because I didn't want you to say there. What's the difference? Well, because see, sometimes when we read the Bible, we say the things that we see is for somebody else besides us. Didn't Paul say it's for whose example? Ours. How many times do I teach, and I know I see the wives, they're like, yeah, you better listen to this, or your girlfriend, hey, man, he's talking straight up to you. Paul says, no, God's talking straight up to you. Like, this message isn't for somebody else. This is for your garage. God's pulling right up into that, and he's parking there for you, because this has to do with you. Not everything else has to do with somebody else just because you don't like it. Paul says, they were an example for us. Now, I told you guys last week, it's good to learn. What's that saying? It's good to learn from your mistakes. But I say it's better to learn from somebody else's. Why have to learn the hard way? Why? There ain't nothing good about that. That's stupidity. So Paul says, hey, check out the Word of God because there's examples in there. And every time that we go into the Word, I want to tell you guys this. Look at what's going on. Follow, write this down. This is going to change your life. Just this little thing right here. Just this little thing right here. Follow the verbs. You guys ain't writing it down. Follow the verbs. See what God is doing. See what's happening.
And those are the things, what God is doing, what's happening. Those are the things that we follow. And we say, okay, I see what God's doing. I see what's going on there. It's either a good example or a bad example. That's just all there is to it. It ain't that, it's not that complicated. It's either something you need to follow or something you don't follow. You know, if they're out there and they're stoning a woman because she was sleeping around, you don't follow that one. You follow the one where Jesus comes alongside of her and he shields her and he protects her and he says, hey, listen, you know what? You made a bad mistake, but it ain't over. We want to follow that example. Come around people that have been hurt, people throwing rocks, and the church steps up and say, hey, you know what? It's okay. God's going to fix this, forgive this, and change you in the process of it. And so there are examples that we follow. And so now, Paul, just real quick, he's going to give five things that we need to be aware of. In verse 6, the first thing he says is lust. He says, there are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted after. Now, he's referring to Numbers 11, going back and forth to all these Old Testament examples. Now, normally when you hear lust, you think of what? Women, sex, men. But the reality of it is what Paul's talking to is when they were in the wilderness and they were lusting. It says that they were lusting after meat. God had provided them with food, and they were lusting after something other than what God had provided them with. Now listen, isn't that what lust is? Is wanting something different? Wanting something other? Wanting something or somebody other than what God has already given us? That's what lust is. You know, man, I'm so tired of this job. I want another job. Well, guess what? When you were broke and unemployed, that was an answer to prayer. Amen. All talking about, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to fast for a week because I got that job. No way. And then you get that job and you're just like, oh, man. I'm so tired of this marriage and this relationship. She never listens to me. I just want someone to listen to me. Sorry, it's not funny, but it is. You know what? We need to be, listen, that's what lust is. Wanting something else other than what God has provided for us. And there's nothing wrong with stepping up, by the way. You should. You remember? Fight with faith. Step up. Keep growing. But what happens is when we get discontented with what God provides for us, and that's lust, and he's saying, don't lust after those things. Lust is like, and it's true, they say lust is like a fire. The more you feed it, the hotter it burns, and the more it has to take to keep it going. Paul says, listen, I'm giving you a warning. There's something in your life, and you want something different, and you know God's put you there, or placed you there, or given you that, or with that person, or whatever. He says, listen, don't lust after things that like they lusted. Verse 7, and don't become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose to play. Quoting Exodus 32. Do you guys remember when that happened, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he was hanging out with God? And the people were going buck wild. I mean, they could have been on the internet. And they're going crazy down there. But see, Moses has taken a long time. They're like, man, Moses is already old. And they go to the associate pastor. They get Aaron. Where's Moses? He's been gone. We don't know. Is he binge watching Stranger Things on Netflix? Like, how much longer? Like, well, where's this guy at? What's he doing? How come he's not here? And because Moses tarried with the Lord, because by the way, sometimes you just get with the Lord. You don't want to be around nobody else. For real. Do you know what I'm saying? I bought my daughter a coffee mug and it says, I love my dog more than people. It's true, because sometimes you just want to get with God and you just don't want to be around nobody else. Just the Lord, just Jesus. Moses is up there in the presence of God. They're all going crazy down there. I heard one pastor say, it's not my circus and it's not my monkeys. And it was going crazy down there. And they said, we want you to
make a calf for us. We want to worship this idol they're asking for Aaron to make. And it says that they were eating, drinking, and it says they sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. When it says they rose up to play, that doesn't mean they were going for Scrabble or Yahtzee. It's talking about they were getting nasty. They were sleeping with each other's wives. They were sleeping with whoever, with whenever, however they wanted to do it. They didn't want to honor God in their relationship. And so they were doing all of this stuff. So it says that they were drinking and getting drunk. So instead of having a beer, they had to get blasted. You guys know I don't drink, but I don't care if you do. It's not a sin. Enjoy your beer if you like your beer. Enjoy life, by the way. But you know what? These guys, they couldn't stop. So instead of drinking a beer, they're drinking a 12-pack. Instead of having sex with their wife and honoring God in their relationship with God, they're sleeping with whoever because they got friends with benefits, and so that's just the way it is. And they're going to rise up to play the game, and it's not Yahtzee. And so God is like displeased with them, and Paul's telling the church in Corinth, you guys are messing around. You guys, listen, you're saved, but I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean you're safe. And so he's talking to them about these issues in their life. He says in verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did and died, and 23,000 of them failed. So Paul's given us some warnings. He says, don't lust as they lusted. Don't commit idolatry like as they were, and don't have sexual immorality. When he's talking about sexual immorality, he's referring to Numbers 25 when Balak was hiring Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Do you remember that story? Do you guys remember Balaam? And we all remember Balaam because of the talking donkey, right? But Balaam was trying to curse the people and God wouldn't let him curse them. And so Balaam's like, you know what? He told Balak. He says, you know what you do? Send the Moabite women down with those men and those women will get them switched over to sin real quick, and God will be so mad he'll wipe them out. And so the Moabite women go down there to the camp of the Israelites. They're like, hey, fellas, what's up? How y'all doing? You guys want to, like, have sex and worship idols and stuff? And they're like, durr, yeah, that sounds great. Like, I was hoping you were going to ask that. And so they hooked up with these women. They're having sex with them. And what happens is God sends a plague in there like AIDS and wipes them out. Can I just tell you that God's not going to let you sin successfully? I'll let that sit for a second. No, he won't. Not if he loves you, and he loves you. He's not going to let me do it successfully. He's not going to let me, he's not going to let you sin successfully. If that's a road you want to go, it's going to be one that's tough. And so what he does is Paul's referring to this, and he's telling them, listen, you guys need to figure it out. And he says in verse 4, here's the verse 9, the fourth warning, tempting Jesus. He says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed, and they were destroyed by serpents. So the Israelites, they were led out, and this is going back to Numbers 11 again, and they angered God. And so what happened was when they were tempting God, in that particular passage that he's referring to, they were saying, man, Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? First of all, these people are getting their butt kicked for 400 years, all right? They're slaves. They're treated like dirt. They're worthless to the Egyptians, filthy people. 400 years of that. Some of you got a boss like that that treats you that way, and you're just like, man, I don't know how. You know, you go to work and you come home. These people were stuck 400 years.
And so they get out into the wilderness. God delivered them. Check this out. God delivers them, takes them out, provides for them in a miraculous way, leading them in the front, got their back from behind. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Giving them water, giving them food, providing for everything that they had. They walked all those years and their shoes didn't even go out. And then they got to a place where they looked at Moses and they said, "Why did we ever leave Egypt? Back there, we had leeks and onions." And I don't even know what leeks are, and it sounds gross. Man, how are you going to brag about having leeks and onions? That doesn't sound good to me. And so what they're doing is they're remembering their old life and how it wasn't. Sometimes I think as the farther we go, the more we forget in Christ. I think that's true. I think the more we grow in Christ, thank you for it, Lord, because we're transformed. We're a new people in Christ. So it makes sense that we forget stuff, right? But man, I'm going to tell you guys something. The good old days weren't all that good, amen? I had a woman come into my shop and she was talking about how she had just hooked up with a friend of hers. She's an older lady, like in her 70s, hooked up with a friend on Facebook. And she says, "I hadn't seen her in 25 years. And I said, "Really?" Because I was interested, because normally, you got to be careful with who you hook up with again. I said, "Again." Because we don't always know how people ended up, right? They might be crazier than you've ever been. And I asked her, I had my curiosity. I said, "You hadn't seen this girl in 25 years? And you went and you picked her up and you decided to do a road trip across the United States." So I'm nosy. And I asked her, I said, "How'd that go?" I said, because, sometimes people aren't who you remember them they were. And the times that you had weren't all as good as you thought that you had them. And she goes, "Well, that's something funny about that." She goes, "She turned it out to be just straight up crazy." She said, "We got halfway across the United States and I had to dope her cookies to drive her all the way back to California." No joke. You got this old woman putting dope in food to shut her friend up because she's crazy. I don't know if it's legal, but she had to shut that. She goes, "I had to shut her up." She goes, "I so wanted to drive that RV into head-on traffic so many times you don't even know." See, here's the thing about it. The good old days aren't the good old days. They're crying, "Why don't we go back? We just want to go back." And some people will look at you and say, "Hey, man, isn't it hard being a Christian?" And you know what you say? It's hard not to be one. Life is a brutal taskmaster. You remember those nights of partying? Oh, they were so good. You remember your head in the toilet? Oh, don't act like you didn't have that. So they're tempting Christ, because what they're doing is they're looking back. The Corinthians are looking back to their old life. Check it out. They were going in their old life when we're reading this, and they got issues. You got to remember what they came out of. They used to be into idolatry, so they would go hang out in the temples. Now they're saved, and guess where they're hanging out again? In the temples. They used to participate by eating that meat sacrificed to idols. And guess what they're starting to do now? Starting to participate in the meat sacrifice to idols. And they're getting closer and they're getting closer to going right back to what God pulled them out of. And Paul, he loves them. So he's trying to tell them, listen, you need to hit the brakes because it's about to go bad. Don't tempt Christ with this stuff. You don't keep getting a little closer and a little closer, because it's not going to end up good. And so he's using these pictures in the Old Testament. He's talking to them about it. And he says that there was snakes that came out and bit them. How weird. What a weird consequence. Am I the only one that reads the Bible and says, that's just odd? Does anybody else here question anything? I mean, I know you're Christians, but good Lord, there's stuff in here that just doesn't make sense. And I said, "Lord, how can... snakes, I wouldn't have thought of that." And you know what the Lord told me? You can pick your sin, but you can't pick the consequences. You don't get to pick and choose what happens. And so Paul says, man, listen, they weren't expecting this. And they got bit by snakes. Things started happening in their lives they didn't want to happen, going ways they didn't want it to go. And so Paul, he says that it was a snake. You know what was interesting is Jesus in John chapter 3. Pastor Luke texted me last Wednesday, and in perfect freshette form, right before he's ready to teach, I'm like, what are you teaching on? He's like, I don't know. And that cracks me up, because as a pastor, I prepare like 5 years in advance. But also too, you know, when you get some of that word built up in your life, you just live it and you can teach it. And he says, man, what should I teach on? I say, hey, go to John chapter 3 and preach the gospel. And that's where, and he did, and it was awesome, and he was bringing the word. And that's where Jesus met Nicodemus at night, and he was talking about, unless the Son of Man is lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And he was making a reference of what happened back in the wilderness when they got bit by these snakes. God told Moses, put a snake on a staff and raise it up, and everybody who looks at that snake will be safe. And I thought, that is the craziest thing. A snake, and they'll be safe. And then Jesus, you're going to use that as a picture of you? Why? Here's why. Because he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of God. And so it was a picture of Jesus that was being raised up. But let me tell you what got me the most confused about it, church. And we're going to close out here right quick. It wasn't that they had to fashion a snake and put it on a pole for people to get saved. The part that I didn't understand is how easy it was to get saved and nobody would do it. You see where I'm going? You guys are so quick. And it's like that today. You know what? Our salvation was difficult for Jesus, but he made it easy for you. There's no excuse. And so, worship team, as we come to a close, let's close out with this. Worship team, come on up. So Paul says in verse 11, he says, now all these happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he shall fall. In other words, what Paul's saying is the quickest way for you to go down is to lift your own self up. Take heed lest you fall. You know, some of us are like, man, I've been a Christian so long, I'd never go flirt around with that girl at the coffee shop that flirts with me because she wants tip money. Oh, I would never do that. You know, I used to do dope, but man, I'm done with that. I'm so strong in the Lord right now. That'll never happen. I say nope to dope and ugh to drugs. The fastest way for you to go down is to lift yourself up. Paul says, he says, I don't care if you're a professional in the workforce, if you're some kind of academic, if you've got stocks and bonds and your stuff together. He said, listen, you are able to go down hard. If any man thinks he stand, take heed lest he shall fall. Verse 13, for no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. I like that. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to the people in the church that have the attitude of, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm tempted with. You don't know what I go through. You don't know how hard life is for me. I've been dirted so much. You don't know how the temptations I feel and getting angry and upset. You don't know the loneliness I feel and how I gotta feel it. You don't get me. You don't know me. You don't know how I feel. I'm next level tempted. And Paul says, no, you're not. your situation's not unique. That what you're going through, you got a brother or sister going through it with you too. The only difference is how they deal with it and how you're going to deal with it. Now, when I saw that, I thought, Paul, that's not what you tell somebody when you're counseling them when they're going through something. You're not the only one. Get over it. That's not how you make somebody feel better, is it? But Paul's not interested into making somebody feel better. He's interested in making them get better. And instead of making excuses for the sin and the situation, he's given them reasons to accept the way out. Look at what he says. But God is faithful. Do you believe that today? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Paul Savage. And then he goes on into verse 14. Let's just read this real quick and we'll end. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Paul Savage. He's a savage pastor. Crazy. This blew my mind when I heard what he just said. You know, as a pastor, I got pastors that listen online, they watch this. They know the temptation of wanting to be everybody's best friend and telling everybody what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Big temptation. Because everybody loves you when you're passing out hope. Everybody loves you when you're passing out forgiveness. Everybody loves you when you're passing out grace. But you start throwing some truth around and it causes trouble. Now, the reason why this shook me and I'm saying Paul is savage is he's all about us getting better in Christ. And he says, God is faithful and he's able. With any temptation that comes in your life, he's going to provide a way out. Now, when you hear that, you should be like, yes, yes, thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. He's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to endure. Yeah, and you stand up and you're like, hallelujah, that's so good, Paul, thank you. But you guys don't know the way he means it. I'm going to give you the backdrop of it, and then we're going to close out with it. When Paul says God is able, and he's able to keep you, and he's faithful, what the church in Corinth was doing, what he was telling the church in Corinth is God is faithful, but you are not. And you're walking around and you're going, you're backsliding, you're messing with sin, you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, you're making excuses for it, you think it's okay, and you think you're unique, but the reality of it is you're not. And so when they heard what he was saying, he's rebuking them, not encouraging them. So when he says, God is faithful, he's saying, don't you dare come to me and tell me that there's something in your life that you can't get through without getting through it with Jesus. Because it's not that way. He is faithful. He is able. And he closes it out with them. And so, you know, for us, I want to encourage you. For those of us who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, there's an encouragement for you. God is faithful. God is able. God is powerful. But to the stubborn and rebellious, you're not unique. You're weak. There's a power there. And Paul says you can get it. And then he closes it out with this, flee from idolatry. Would you guys stand with me as we close out this morning? Paul closes it out and he says, flee from idolatry. And so the way that we deal with temptation, the way that we deal with sin, the way we deal with these things that we're dealing with in our life, the way we fight is we flee. Say it with me, flee. One more time, flee. One more time like you mean it. Flee. The way we fight is we flee. And so this morning, if you're here
and you've been living this life where you're kind of going back into your same old stuff, and you think the old days were the good ones, and you know, maybe you're not as well off as you think you should be, and God working in your life like you thought he should have, listened. God's calling you back. Make a turn from the Lord and make a turn away from those things in your life. And for those of you that, man, maybe you have fallen into a place where you're just like, man, Jason, I've messed up again. Man, Sunday I made a commitment, but Monday I was back going crazy. God wants you to know he loves you, knows you, understands you, and died for you. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, so Christ was lifted up, and whoever would come to him would be saved. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you guys, the way you fight is flee and turn, make a turn to the Lord. So Father, we come to you today, and I want to pray over everybody in here that is struggling with sin in their life right now. Lord, they're not arrogant. They're not proud about it. They hate it. They don't want nothing to do with it. God, that you just give them peace as they turn to you, as they depend upon you. Lord, because we can't do it on our own. We need you, Jesus. We need you to lead us. We need you to go before us. We need you to go behind us. We need you to take care of our future, but we also need you to deal with that junk in the past. And if you're here today and you haven't made a decision to give Christ your life and to serve him and to set him up as the king of your heart, this is the day to do it. This is the day of salvation for you. But you're going to need to come. He said, whoever shall come, come. It's that simple. It's that easy. And if that's you this morning, you want to come to Jesus, you want to give your life to him, you want to be made new, you want your sins forgiven, you want that joy, that living water that flows, that bread that satisfies, you need Jesus. You're not going to get it anywhere else. No sex, no relationship, nothing you can get on Amazon. It ain't going to work. You need Jesus. And so if that's you, listen, just say with me, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. And I ask that Jesus, you would cleanse me, wash me, and make me new. This day forward, I put my trust, I put my life, I put my eternity in you, Jesus. Have your way with me, O God. Transform me, make me new, God. In Jesus' name.